keep money in its place. And its place is never first place. Keep money in its place. And its place is never first place. One of the most difficult things I think for us Christians to do is to have a proper attitude toward money. Some Christians, the name it and claim it group, believe that if I'm a Christian, God will give me everything I want and I'll become a millionaire. And some Christians believe that if I'm a Christian, I think money is evil, it's terrible, I don't have anything to do with money. But the fact is, money is a necessary part of our life. In the areas that money works, there's nothing that will take the place of money. In the areas that money works, there is nothing that will take the place of money. But money does not work in all areas. I've got to keep money in its place. As a Christian, I've got to learn where money goes, how important it is, and there are some things much more important than money. There are a lot of things much more important than money. But that does not mean money is not important at all. Money is necessary. You don't eat without money. You don't have a place to live without money. You're not able to go to the doctor. For most of us, some of you may be able to, but for most of us, we had to have some money to go to the doctor. So money is a necessary part of life. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about some things that Jesus said about money. I want us to look today at some things that the Apostle Paul said about money. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And as he began in that chapter, he was talking about false teachers, and false teachers were teaching for money. And then he went off on money. And that's what I want to talk about, what he said about money. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Godliness is more important than money. Godliness, being a godly person, being what God wants me to be. And so he says, godliness is a means of great gain. The false teachers were thinking about preaching and teaching in order to get more money for themselves. And he said, godliness is the way to get gain. That's real gain, to be a godly person. So you be a godly person, and it's the means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Let me admit to you that contentment has always been a problem for me. In my human nature, my humanness, I think we were created to be a goal-seeking being. Stay with me now. Don't go to sleep during this part. Go to sleep later. But I just think we were designed to reach after something, to go after something, to have some kind of purpose in life, some kind of goal, some kind of reason why we exist. And the Bible teaches that I need to be content, which means I need to be satisfied with the way things are. And that's always just kind of been a battle for me. How can I make plans and reach goals and all that and still be content? And I believe the Bible teaches I need to be content. I need to be satisfied with the way things have worked out in my life. I need to be contented. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Knowing that it's okay. It's all right. Where I am is all right. I'm not upset and bent out of shape. I'm just content. I'm satisfied. But where I am. It amazes me. I always tell people when they ask me how I'm doing, I say I can't complain. And people are always teasing me about that. People say, you mean you don't have any problems? I say, yeah, I got all kinds of problems. I'm just not complaining about them. You know? Yeah. People say, well, I can. I can complain. I got all kinds of things to complain about. But when I think about my life and I look around at other people, I don't have a complaint. Man, God's been good to me. Much, much better than I deserve. Much, much better than I deserve. And so I try my best to be content. Not to give up on the idea of reaching things or doing things or accomplishing things, but being content with where I am. Then verse 7, he says, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. You came in broke, you're going to go out broke. That's it. No matter how much you accomplish here, no matter how much you accumulate here, when you die, you don't have any of it. You know, it's like the rich man that died and somebody said, how much did he leave? All of it. That's right. Whatever it was, he left it all. He didn't carry any of it with him. It's all here. We come in broke, we go out broke. We may accomplish a lot and accumulate a lot and all that stuff while we're here, but we don't carry any of it with us. None of it. There's no pockets. No pockets. No U-Haul trailer behind the hearse. We don't carry any of it with us. And that this scripture basically says that. We brought nothing into the world, so we're not going to take anything out of it either. And that ought to be kind of a shock to us. That ought to shake us and to say, well, you know, I shouldn't spend my whole life and my whole thought process and my everything about trying to accumulate things when I die, I don't have them. They're gone. So I need to keep it in its proper place. And that's the main point of the sermon today. Keep money in its place. Keep money in its place. I don't think that's first place, and I don't think it's last place. I think money is important in our life. And I think money has a tendency to creep up the priority list if you're not careful. If you don't keep it where it ought to be, it keeps getting more and more important to you. We brought nothing into the world, so we're not taking anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. I realize that it sounds like he's talking about two things there, right? But when you study the Bible, you need to ask a couple of questions. One of them is, what does it say? It says two things. The next question is, what does it mean? It means three things. You say, wait a minute. It don't mean three things if it says two things. Yeah, it does. If we have food and, what does your translation say? Raiment. Clothing. The original said covering. So what he's saying is, if you have food, shelter, and clothing. If you have food, shelter, and clothing, what am I to be? Tell me.
Content.
Okay. I need to be satisfied. If I've got food, shelter, and clothing, I may be in trouble. I'm not sure any of us are satisfied with just food, shelter, and clothing. So we need to wrestle with that verse a little bit. We have food and covering, with these be content. Then he goes to the other extreme. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. I want you to notice he's not talking about those who are rich. Who's he talking about? Those who want to get rich. Those who have a desire to be rich. Those whose main purpose in life is money. What happens to them? Those who want to get rich fall into temptation. I'm tempted when I want to get rich, I'm tempted to cheat a little bit and lie a little bit. Not be honest in some of my dealings because I want money. And money is more important to me than those other things. But I want you to know that character is more important than money. Character is more important than money. Honesty is more important than money. Obeying Scripture is more important than money. Not to steal and not to lie, not to cheat. All those are more important than money. But when I got a desire, when my desire is to be rich, when that's what my goal is, and I say, well, you know, I can shape this thing a little bit here. I can cheat just a little bit. Nobody will ever know it. You know, I don't have to tell the whole truth about that car I'm trying to sell. I don't have to be totally honest. I can lie and it'll be okay. I'll make a lot of money and it'll be all right. No, when you want to get rich, you fall into temptation and a snare, a trap, many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. You see, I don't want my desire for money to destroy my spiritual life. I don't want my desire for money to destroy my spiritual life. I think we would be amazed at what people do to earn more money if we compare it from the perspective of God's perspective. When God's looking at it, and God said, I want that person to be spiritual. I want that person to be dedicated to me. I want to be first in his life. And then that person, the decisions he make, he wants to make those decisions so he get a little more money. That's kind of, forget about the character thing. I'll be a Christian on Sunday. It's Monday now. So I'm going to do what I want to do to get that money. No, when I want to be rich, when my desire is for money, there are more temptations. There are temptations to do wrong in order to have money. Verse 10, one of the most misquoted scriptures. It says, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The King James translation, by the way, is one of the best translations ever made. It's good translations. The problem is English has changed. The Bible hadn't changed, but English has changed, so King James is hard for some young people to understand. But King James did mess up here, because King James says the love of money is the root of all evil. And the love of money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, all sorts of evils. You know? And it is the love of money, not money. There's no telling how many times you have heard people quote saying money is the root of all evil. And the problem is there's enough truth in that statement to make you believe it, that money is the root of all evil. You know, if you're trying to solve a crime, your policeman trying to solve a crime, you follow the money trail. And many times you'll find the solution. So money is a big issue sometimes. But it is the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil. And poor folks can love money as well as rich folks, right? Poor folks can love money too. And so I need to make sure I don't fall in love with money. God's first, not money. Keep money in its place. Keep money in its place. And it's never first place. It is never first place. Money has a place in your life. It's just not first place. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith. That sounds like to me a person was a Christian and he turned his back on Christ because he was worshiping money. That would sound like to you? He wandered away from the faith because he fell in love with money. He pierced himself with many griefs because he was after money. He was in love with money. He allowed money to become first place in his life. What we need to do as Christians, we need to keep money in our life. It has a place in our life. It is an important part of our life. It's just not first place. God's first place. God's first place. My family is ahead of money. My character is ahead of money, right? I'm going to do the right thing whether I make money or don't make money. Shouldn't that be the Christian's attitude? I'm not going to cheat or lie just so I can get more money. I may try to make more money, but I'm just not going to sacrifice my character in order to do that, because my character is more important than money. Keep money in its place. Look down to verse 17. There's some Christians who are rich. You know that? It's okay to be rich. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing. In fact, a lot of God's people in the Bible were rich. Right? Abraham was pretty rich, wasn't he? A lot of God's people were rich. So it's not wrong to be rich. So Paul, as the apostle, is telling Timothy, as the preacher, what he should preach to rich people. What he should preach to rich people. And the rest of us just kind of listen in. We can learn a lot about what Timothy was supposed to tell rich people. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited, arrogant, not to think you're better than somebody else just because you have more money than they have. Not to be conceited, not to be arrogant, not to think you are superior because you have more money. You're not superior. Not to be conceited, or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Don't put your trust in money. There's nothing that will take the place of money and what money can do. But there are a lot of things money can't do. There are a lot of things money can't do. Money can't reverse your age. Right? Suppose I'm 70 years old and I have $5 million and I want to be 35. Will the money help me? Shelly, don't ask a silly question. The fact is, money can't help there. There are certain areas money can help in, but there are certain things money just has, they don't, it doesn't apply, it doesn't work at all. None. So don't put your hope, don't put your trust, don't put your dependence, don't put your confidence in money, because he says money is uncertain. The uncertainty of riches. I couldn't find it this week and I was looking for it, but years ago when I first started preaching, there was an illustration that went around, and preachers pass illustrations around, so usually you hear them about 40 times, but there was an illustration of either 10 or 20 rich people getting together before the Depression. I think, if I remember, I had a hard time, I couldn't find it. So, but I think it was the 10 richest people in America. It may have been the 20 richest people, I'm not sure. But anyway, that was before the Depression. They were the richest people in America. And then it told what happened to them after the Depression. All of them were broke. Some of them committed suicide and done all kinds of stuff. Because riches are uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen to it. And even if nothing happens to the riches, something can happen to you. Right? And what good is my money when I'm gone? Something for my children to fight over. I don't have but one, so I don't guess you'll fight over it. Might, I don't know. I know a family man died. He didn't have anything, and his children still fought. I mean, you know, you said, what are they fighting over? I don't know. But uncertainty, that don't put your trust and your hope in riches. That if I have riches, if I have a lot of money, I have a solution to all my problems. You don't. You have a solution to some of your problems, but you don't have a solution to all of your problems. Money doesn't work in certain areas. Just doesn't apply. Doesn't apply at all. So I'm not to put my hope on the uncertainty of riches, but I am to put my hope and my trust on God. Trust God. Now we're talking about speaking to rich people. That's who Paul is telling Timothy to talk to, instruct those who are rich in this present world, not to put their hope and their trust and their dependence on their money. Put their hope and their trust and their dependence on God. Now look at the next phrase. Who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. I know some people who don't believe that part of the verse is true. I know some people who think that if I enjoy myself, somehow or another I'm being unspiritual. That if I enjoy things, that somehow that makes me not a Christian. I'm not a real Christian if I enjoy things. What does the text say? God richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. It's wrong if the things become first place in my life. It is not wrong for me to enjoy things. That's not wrong. That's not a sin. That not does not make me unspiritual. As long as I keep money in its proper place, it's okay. And money has a place in our life. It's never first place, but it has a place. And things have a place in our life. And God gives us things to, according to the text, what did it say? Enjoy them. God gives us things to enjoy them. So it's okay to enjoy things. There's nothing wrong with that. Going to keep hitting the same nail? It is wrong if the things become first in my life. It is wrong if the things become first in my life. Several months ago, I told you an illustration of a young teenager I knew. I didn't really know the teenager. I knew his grandparents. And his grandparents and his parents had visited my church several different times, the places I'd preached. I was good friends with his granddad. But anyway, as a teenager, had a car that he loved. I mean, just loved it. He washed that thing and kept it cleaned up and shined up and all that kind of stuff. And he wrecked it. And a few days later, he committed suicide. And you say, we want to say, how crazy is that? I mean, that's just ridiculous. And yet he was so in love with his car that when his car got destroyed, that wiped him out. He couldn't deal with that. Things have a place in your life, but it's never first place. Never first place. There are a lot of things more important than money. A lot of things. God's more important than money. Family is more important than money. Character is more important than money. Honesty is more important than money. Instruct them to do good. Verse 18. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And we live in a political atmosphere right now in which the government wants to take money away from the rich folks and give it to the folks they choose. I'm not getting involved in politics at all, but this verse ain't talking about that. This verse is not talking about the government taking my money and giving it to whoever they want to give it to. This verse is talking about me taking my money and giving it to who I think it ought to have. That's what this verse is talking about. About me choosing to give to somebody. About you choosing to give to somebody. And you and I as Christians ought to do that. We ought to help people and give money to places that we think they ought to go. Has nothing to do with the government taking our money and deciding where they're going to put it. But it does have to do with us doing it. With us giving. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works. Not to be rich just in money, but to be rich in good works. To be generous and ready to share. It's okay if I've got money and I want to give it to people. And you know, some of the richest people I know give a lot of money away. You knew that, didn't you? They give a lot of money away. Yeah. Percentage-wise, it may not seem that much, but they give a lot of money away. And many people who have money give it away. In fact, I believe one of the ways to get money is to give it away. You know, one of the ways you get money is to give it away? Yeah, that's right. Where you get that from, Lee? Well, it's in the Bible somewhere, right? Luke 6:38 says, give. Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So one of the ways I get money, I work for money, I inherit money, I earn money, own money. But one way I get money is give it away. That's just the way it works in God's kingdom. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves a treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Paul tells Timothy, you preach to the rich people and you tell them to think long term. One of the things I have noticed about rich people is that they think long term. Now, I've not done research and I've not read books and all that kind of stuff about it. Just the rich people I know, they just think long term. Poor folks think, I got some money, I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to spend this money now. I'm going to have a good time today. Rich folks think, how about using this money for down the road somewhere? Dave Ramsey, one of Gary's favorite people over there, Dave Ramsey tried to teach people to get out of debt, and so he says, you eat beans and rice for one meal and rice and beans for the next meal till you get out of debt. So you live like nobody lives, so one day you can live like nobody lives. So we need to learn to keep money in its place. We need to learn to keep money in its place. It has a place in your life. It is important what you do with your money. It's just not the most important thing. And you got to make sure that it never creeps up there, because it has a tendency to keep moving up the ladder. It has a tendency to keep going up in the priority ranking. God's more important than money. Your family is more important than money. How many of you known people who sacrificed their family in order to make money? There are all kind of people who ended up with divorce and all kind of family problems because they were working and making a lot of money. Your character is more important than money. So you don't do sinful things in order to make money. keep money in its place. And I'm going to ask you, I'm simple, so I like to do simple things. I'm going to ask you to repeat that phrase, because that's what I want you to remember about today's sermon. Keep money in its place. Let's do it. Keep money in its place. Do it again. Keep money in its place. One more time. Keep money in its place. That's all we need to do. It has a place in our life, just not first place. Just keep money in its place. That's what we got to do.